morning, I gave a whole class about Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his life and his prodigious publications. Prodigious means like he published a lot. Let me just... So Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his many publications, very important publications, and particularly we're going to be speaking about one of his publications called the Jiva Dharma, which details the philosophy of Krishna consciousness all the way from Sambandha to Abhideya and Prayojana. What that means, Sambandha, of course, is the basic tattva philosophy, relationships between the material energy, the spiritual energy, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Jiva souls. That's Sambandha. Abhideya means the process of actually advancing in Krishna consciousness or becoming Krishna consciousness. And then Prayojana means the goal of Krishna consciousness, which is basically pure love of Godhead. So Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. And so the Jiva Dharma Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks about these three subject matters in the context of different stories. And two stories we want to relate to all of you today. One story is a story about a sannyasi, Mayavadi sannyasi, became a devotee. And the other story is about a household couple who had very bad children. And I'm not going to tell the story now because we're going to chant first. That's right. Do some chanting. And what we're going to do is chant some songs that were written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Right there. And I think everybody knows Jujago, right?
Yeah.
No? Yes. And then we'll end with chanting Hare Krishna, and then if everyone gets enthusiastic, we can maybe get up and dance or whatever. Depends on your level of hormones. But it depends on... just depends on how you feel. So Jeev Jaga was written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and then there's another song called, well actually they're connected, it's Arunadaya Kirtan Part 1, which is Gila Arunga. And then we'll chant Hare Krishna too. So Mardanga, and you can also play the harmonium if you could follow me.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
No, I just leave it there. I'm on that chamber. That's fine. Just say that that's the chamber. Okay. So, the next song, actually, one other song from Arunodoy Kirita, which is known as Uvila Arana.
Does everybody know that song?
Yeah, we'll have a mobile pose. And then we'll chant Ohe Vaishnava Thakur. It's pretty much the same melody, so. It's called Arunodaya Kirtan. Thank you. Christ for taking my limits. Here's more. Even sannyasis get boo-boos. Okay. This is a way of mentioning about the poor. This is a very beautiful song. read the translations of these poems.
Why not go with that quote we just read?
All right, thank you. All right. It's okay. Last time we were in the park and we did this village set of kirtans, I rubbed the skin off of my arm. It's better now, but just want to prevent it from happening again. So, gently, oh, don't touch the other thing. You give me the garland. That's fine. Thank you. So, I'm going to read the translations for the three songs we just sang, the Bhaktivinoda Thakura's songs. And one is from this song called Sharanagati. And the other two are from another song called Gitavali. Bhaktivinoda Thakura was a very prolific. Okay. Playtime. Bhaktivinoda Thakura was a very prolific writer, and this morning we were reading the names of some of the literatures that he actually wrote. And we even didn't even do, I think, one-tenth of the, we didn't even read one-tenth of the names of the literatures that he wrote. Amazing, amazing, amazing devotee. And he presented Krishna consciousness in such a way that's easily understandable for people all around the world, because he presented it in a very digestible format in terms of, generally in terms of stories, because everyone likes to hear stories. Like the Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam is filled with stories, and then right after the story is prayers. So you can digest the prayers quite easily when you hear the stories. So let's just read the translation of these three poems, and I think we'll speak a little bit about them, and hopefully we get into what I wanted to speak about tonight, with some of the excerpts from one of Bhaktivinoda Thakura's literatures known as the Jiva Dharma. Jiva Dharma is, like I said, it deals with every aspect of Krishna consciousness from A to Z, or what I describe when I'm giving you Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. You know, three stages of devotional service. But let's read the translation of these poems. First, in honor of Bhaktivinoda Thakura, there's this song, Ohe Vaishnava Thakur. So, O Venerable Vaishnava, O Ocean of Mercy, be merciful unto your servant. Give me the shade of your lotus feet and purify you. I hold on to your lotus feet. Now, the interesting thing about this particular expression, holding on to your lotus feet, it means more than just what it appears to mean. Like if you want, like Prabhupada one time answered one of the devotees, said, I want the shelter of your lotus feet. And Prabhupada said, my lotus feet are always moving. It's like they say, you have a moving target. It's very hard to hit. So what did Prabhupada mean by that? That we should just like go on a morning walk with him and just like try to grab his feet as he's walking? Actually, I didn't do that, but I took the dust of his feet as he left footprints in the sand. Actually, Prabhupada did leave footprints. And I can attest to that. So, but it really means a lot more than that. Because the dust of the feet means following in the footsteps. There's two words that we have in the Sanskrit, anukara and anusar. One means to imitate. Sometimes people try to imitate an acharya without being on the proper platform. And the problem with that is then you make a nosedive if you do that. It's like a story, I can tell the story, it's interesting, sorry, I learned when I was a kid. It was about some frogs. Some of you may have heard the story before. Once upon a time, there was a frog, and he was the king of the frogs. And he got the benediction from the sage that all he could see, he would be the king of. That's pretty good, isn't it? I mean, if I got that benediction, I'd probably go up in an airplane. But at that time, there weren't any airplanes for frogs. So this frog, he thought, well, we could use these other frogs to make pyramids. You know, if you have a pyramid, you know what a pyramid is? Mm-hmm. Like if you have 20 frogs, then it becomes 19 frogs and 18 frogs. And, you know, you can get pretty high. You can do frog skyscraper this way. So this frog, frog had gotten the benediction, you know, whatever I see, so I'm going to go high. So he, what he did is that he asked for all of his subjects, the little froggies, to make a pyramid for him. You know, I guess it was like 50, 49, 48, 47, 46. And he was, wow, this is good. I can see so much. So he climbed higher and higher and higher. And what happens is when you get real high with it, that sort of pyramid, unless you got support on the side, unless you got spiritual realization, then things start to waver a little bit. So he got to the top, and he was really in ecstasy. And it started to waver, and he did a nosedive. And so his head was immersed in the mud. So all he could see was the mud. So he became the king of the mud. So the moral of the story is, and also, of course, in Bengali, there's this statement, I don't remember in Bengali, but big, big belly, big, big monkey, sail on, jumping, melancholy, that you may try to imitate Hanuman and jump to Ceylon, but then you will also end up with your head in the mud. So, in other words, we're not supposed to imitate the great Vaishnavas, say, the five great Srila Prabhupada or all these great acharyas, Srila Vyasadeva, but we're supposed to follow in their footsteps. This is really what it means, the shade of their lotus feet. Following in their footsteps means to understand their mood in devotional service. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, what was his mood? He's an eternally liberated soul, a gopi in the spiritual world. And yet, we find in his pastimes, we were reading about his daily schedule, he was waking up at 10 o'clock at night, took rest at about 8, woke up at 10 and wrote literatures all night long. Until he picked up his job. He's a janitor. And then did his job as a Supreme Court magistrate. In other words, he actually held a full-time job. And he was extremely regimented in his time schedule, punctual. He didn't believe in Indian Standard Time. In fact, he always carried a pocket watch. In those days, they didn't have, you know, wristwatches, or maybe they did, but he didn't use a wristwatch. And so he was able to accomplish so much, and he sacrificed his whole life, and he raised a family. How many kids did he have? About 10? 10 kids. Do any of you parents have 10 kids? Do any of you have 5? What's the most?
2, 3.
Is it a lot? No. That's pretty good. So 10 kids. And so, yeah. 10 kids, wife, which that's how you get kids. So he had 10 kids and a wife. And he was able to produce so many literatures that practically nobody in history has ever produced so many literatures. And not with a computer. I'm not sure. I think he hand-wrote everything. I don't even think he wrote it with a typewriter. He hand-wrote literatures in Sanskrit and Bengali and English. And he knew Orient and he knew Urdu. And it was Hindi, of course. And so many different Persian, so many different languages. And sacrificing his life, like we were describing about the six Goswamis of Vrindavan this morning, Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipanosa Dharma Samstapako Lokanam Hitakarano Tribhuvane, for the welfare of us, not for himself. I mean, that's a Vaishnava. He just like sacrifices. And of course this morning, those of you who heard this morning's class, I made reference to a class that I heard Srila Prabhupada gave this morning. He didn't give it this morning, but I listened to it this morning, where Prabhupada said that in order to bring someone to Krishna consciousness, we have to be ready to shed gallons of blood. Prabhupada said, bring one person to Krishna consciousness, we have to be ready to shed gallons of blood. Can you imagine that particular metaphor? And Prabhupada didn't mean that, you know, obviously you cut yourself in gallons. Prabhupada meant that we just have to be ready to sacrifice our life's energy. Then Prabhupada, in fact, said that, to bring people. And then, of course, we find Krishna's statement in the Gita that those persons who do that are most dear to me, never will there be those, or anyone more dear to me than those who actually dedicate themselves in this particular way. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur, can you imagine sacrificing any sort of vacation? You know, we all like to go on vacation. Of course, he went to Vrindavan 3 times, I understand. But we all like to go on different vacations to the ocean and joy and things like that. But he sacrificed everything. He didn't, actually, he didn't do anything for any other purpose other than pleasing Krishna and satisfying Krishna. So when we talk about the shade of the lotus feet, I mean, that's our example or exemplar, our role model, something that should really inspire us, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And that's what it means to hold on to the lotus feet of a pure devotee. Although, you know, sometimes we touch a pure, like I touch Prabhupada's feet. Fortunately, Prabhupada never patted me on the head to give me my karma back. But anyway, you know, when someone touches your feet, you get the karma. And then you touch their head, they give them the karma back. Did you know that? I told you that before. That's why when anyone touches my feet, I pat them on the head. Then Amaris is giving me some mercy. No, I'm just giving you karma. So anyway, so this is the first verse. I mean, actually, I can do a whole class about that. And then, teach me to control my 6 passions. Rectify my 6 faults. Bestow upon me the 6 qualities and offer unto me the 6 kinds of holy association. Of course, this is actually in reference to Upadeshamrita, the 2nd verse. Rupa Goswami says Upadeshamrita. How when Vacho Vegamana Sapra Kurta Vegam Jiva Vegaman Rupasha Vegan, and other verses like the Dati Swati, Rivernati, Guyamakyati, Prichati, and I'm not going to go over the whole thing. So here it says, teach me to control my 6 passions. It's really interesting. It doesn't mean that he controls our 6 passions, or he controls our 6 faults, or, well, of course, he does give us the 6 kinds of holy association, accepting prasadam, giving prasadam, revealing the mind in confidence, and hearing from others in confidence, and giving gifts and accepting gifts. But basically, the 6 passions and the 6 faults are something that we have to work on ourselves. He teaches us how to do those things. Just like we find in the pastimes of Krishna, where Balaram kills certain demons, those demons represent anarthas. That means unwanted things that we have to deal with ourselves or control ourselves, following the instructions of the spiritual master, who represents Balaram. So the guru gives us the mercy by giving us instructions on how to deal, to control the senses. Vajra-vega, manasa-kravega, jiva-vega, rupush, ashtavega, like the tongue, belly, genitals, mind, anger, and words. Mm-hmm. And of course we also have 6 senses, manasa-ashtani, indriyani, prakriti, stani, karshti, you know, 5 normal ones. And then of course the mind. So he teaches us how to do that. And how do you do that? How do you control these things? They're more difficult, as Arjuna says, as a chanchalahi manah krishna, kramati bhagavadra dhamtashaham nigraham manye, by over eva shidushkaram, more difficult than controlling the wind. So how do you do that? you have to be, according to Krishna and Bhagavad Gita, what is it? A.K.A. Akurananda. You have to be focused on your goal. And what is the goal of Krishna consciousness? To love Krishna, please Krishna. If you're really focused, like we see someone who's successful in this material world, someone who's successful in this material world, the only way they can become successful is to be very focused on doing what? Like making money, or in sports, if they're entering the Olympics, they have to practice. Because at one point, they're thinking of winning the gold medal. And so therefore, they're able to exercise or practice or whatever they're doing for 8-10 hours a day, every day. Because they're A.K.A. Pakurananda in a material sense. And then most of us are what Bhavishyatas Tvanantascha, according to Bhagavad Gita, we are. Our determination is many branches. Well, I like Krishna consciousness. Nice we're here, you know. Maharaj talks like that, you know. A little satsang here. A little satsang there. You know, mix it all together, you know, makes me happy. So, so this is really important. It's something that we have to do. And then the next verse is, I do not find the strength to carry on alone the sankirtan of the holy name of Hari. So this is humility. Please bless me, because the strength comes from what? Please bless me by giving me just one drop of faith. Faith is the conviction, faith is the conviction that if you simply do what Krishna wants, everything will be accomplished and become happy. Will accomplish everything. Give me one drop of faith to which to obtain the great treasure of the holy name of Krishna. In other words, the strength comes from faith. If you actually believe, then you get a lot of strength. If you actually believe that Krishna is real, that Krishna chanting Hare Krishna is non-different from the Supreme Personality of God, and every time you're chanting, you're purifying yourself. Then you won't stop purifying. Then you won't stop chanting. And then the final verse here is, Krishna is yours. You have the power to give him to me. There's this little bit of creepacity here. You have the power to give him to me, but I'm simply running behind. You have to run behind. Shouting, Krishna, Krishna. In other words, following the footsteps again. It just ends with the same thing. You see, it goes round in a circle. Give me the shade of your lotus feet. I hold on to your lotus feet, and at the end is I'm running behind you, shouting, Krishna, Krishna. In other words, following in your footsteps. That's really what it means. Not that you just like find a pure glory. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. You know, if you take this literally, I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world, but it's really meant to be taken in that particular way. Okay. So that's in glorification of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and next we'll read these translations here. And I'm not going to go so deep into these translations, and then we'll get to the Jiva Dharma. So, part one is about Lord Chaitanya. Well, maybe I should get deeper into it. When the rising sun appeared in the east, the jewel of the twice-born Lord Gauranga awakened, gathering his devotees around him, he set out to preach in the countryside, towns, and villages. In other words, he was waking people up. Because spiritual life begins in the morning. You find that every single great sage in India, they're rising early in the morning. Because of sadhana. Sadhana means practice. And the practice occurs best when it's in the mode of goodness time of the day. Every time of the day has a certain mode attached to it. So gathering his devotees around me said that to preach in the countryside, towns, and villages. Tatai, tatai. Sound of the Mridanga drums. That's what's called onomatopoetic. You ever heard that word before? Onomatopoetic means a word that sounds like what it is. You want to see what it means? Tatai, tatai. Sound of the Mridanga drums. Just like you have a word in English, let's say, what does a dog do? Bow wow. That's onomatopoetic. Or even many words in English are like that. Cry. That is what it cries. It sounds like what it cries. And the cymbals chimed in time. Lord Gorisunder's shimmering golden features danced and his ankle bells jingled. Mukunda Madhava Yadava Hari chanted the devotees, their mouths filled with vibrations, calling out, they preach to those still sleeping. You spend your nights uselessly sleeping and your days decorating your bodies. Although you have achieved a rare human birth, you do not care for this precious gift. Instead, you refrain from serving the darling of Yashoda and slowly fall through your last moments to death. With every rising and setting of the sun, a day passes and is lost. Then why do you remain idle and not serve the word of the heart? This life is temporary and full of various miseries. Take shelter of the holy name as your only business. To penetrate the darkness of ignorance and bless everyone's heart, the sweet holy name has risen like the shining sun. Drink deeply the pure nectar of Krishna's holy name, which is the life and soul of Bhaktivinoda. The holy names aside, there is nothing to be had in all the 14 worlds. Well, it's deep faith. Again, you know, the whole point is faith. Simply by doing what Krishna wants, chanting his names, everything is accomplished. And of course, in other words, in the Gita, Ritu Samsara Vartmani. For those that don't have faith, guess what? What's your reward? Those persons who don't have faith, Shadana Purusha, Dharma Shasya Parantapa, Krishna speaking to Arjuna, oh my young one. A propia mom, you can't get Krishna. Nivartante. And then you repeat, Ritu Samsara Vartmani. You go on the path, Vartmani means path, of Ritu, death. Repeat samsara, Ritu samsara varmani. Okay, and then the last one here is Lord Gaura's Chandra is calling again, he's waking us up. Wake up, sleeping soul, wake up, sleeping soul. How long will you sleep in the lap of the witch called Maya? Maya, of course, means illusion in this particular context. You have forgotten the way of devotional service and are lost in the cycle of birth and death. I have descended just to save you. And he's speaking on behalf of the holy names here. I have descended just to save you. I am your only true friend other than me. What friend do you have? I have brought the medicine that will wipe out the disease of illusion from which you suffered. Take this great chant for deliverance, Maha Mantra, the names of Hari. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur falling at the Lord's lotus feet, take shelter of the Harinam mantra of the Lord's holy name. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur Vijaya. So let's speak a little bit from, as I mentioned before, the Jaya Dharma. We have two stories here. These are my outlines for the two stories. So I'm going to start with chapter 7 of the Jaya Dharma. Chapter 1 is about the sannyasi. But chapter 7 is really interesting. This is about material household life. It's not against household life, it's about material household life. And what you teach the children by your example. Because as Prabhupada would often say, example is more important than precept. Precept means like instructions. But example means what you actually do. Because children, it's a story of children also, bad children. Children actually function on the basis of role models, which is really nice if you've got good role models. And if you have bad role models, children will follow them. So we have to be really careful when you're raising children of being good role models and making sure the children don't gravitate to bad role models, because many times, especially with young people, you want to fit in, isn't it? I remember in school, I had a hard time because I never fit. I never fit in with anybody. I was going to school before any people in this room were born. I think so.
probably is true.
Is anyone? No. I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, so anyway, in the old days when everything was nice, before electricity and running water and everything like that. So I was we had phones that you actually had to call the operator. But anyway, so I was going to school and it was painful because I wasn't into the same things that everybody was into. And it was really hard for me to find, because I wasn't into sports. You know, the American America, it's everybody's into sports, football, baseball, or whatever stupid thing they do. You know, it's like in ancient Rome, they watched the lions eat the Christians. So in America, we let people, you know, big, anyway, Rambo people attack each other, and then we watched that happen. So anyway, so I wasn't into that. Everybody knew all the names of all the different sports heroes, and I just couldn't get it in my brain. I mean, what the heck? So in one sense, it was a very lonely time for me because I wasn't into what they were into. And so who were my heroes? Who were my role models? Well, Mental Prabhupada, obviously, but that was a little later in life. But it became my father. And my father was a good role model because he worked real hard. He would get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, but not to chant Hare Krishna, to work. Anyway, so for that, that's a good role model. He was actually a very good role model. So in other words, I didn't get influenced by social pressure because somehow, you know, Krishna kept me away from that. It was just like, what? Who cares who won the 1950 Olympics or baseball, or who was Babe Ruth? Don't fool me with that before. So yeah. Anyway, so here's a story. Okay, let's go on about it. Know how it worked. They lived on the bank of the Saraswati River in Saptagram in Bengal. Was Chandidas and Damayanti. And they didn't like Krishna consciousness at all. They just thought, you know, that was bloody, that's really sentimental. And so their home was never visited by Vaishnavas. And that's a violation of Vedic principles, because when someone comes to your home, you're supposed to receive them like what a Titi Narayan. Like Narayan, even if they're coming for without any invitation. You give them food. Prabhupada said, even if your enemy comes to your home, you're supposed to treat them as if, so they don't suspect that they are your enemy. That's Vedic culture. And so they were very greedy after material things. And he told his children, if you behave nicely, we'll take care of you. And his children observed this. You know, wow. The real purpose of life is being greedy. So the parents are super, super greedy. And they live poverty-stricken, like you see sometimes, because they want to just save all their money. So what happened is, after a while, he told his children, look, if you behave yourselves and take care of us nicely, we have some hidden wealth. So after we go, we pass away, you can have that hidden wealth. So he had three sons. Three sons had learned from them how to be greedy. So the three sons met with each other. They had a GBC conference. And they met with each other. So they met with each other and they were trying to understand what should we do. And the wives of the sons also, by association with their husbands, all became really bad like that too. And they thought, look, we're not going to wait. Who knows what he's going to do with his money, what they're going to do with their money. So let's take their money, but we're going to trick them. So they decided upon a particular strategy. They went to their parents and they said, look, Mom and Dad, we love you. actually they were wrong, because they learned the wrong things from their parents. They said, we think you should go on pilgrimage to Mayapur. You know, we want you, and we'll send this nice Vaishnavi lady to take care of you. Okay. They thought, oh, this is great. You know, our children are finally appreciating us. So they start on the way to Mayapur. And on the way to Mayapur, they get news that the children had dug up in their bedroom, because that's where people hide their wealth, taken the wealth. And they thought, let's go back. I mean, our children actually love us, because they taught the children the wrong thing. You know, it's just, if you teach the wrong thing, then it comes back to bite you. You know, that's karma. It's karma, and also setting an example. Just like you have the story of Shahjahan, right? Shahjahan? He must have taught the wrong thing to his son, his father. Put him in jail. You know, after. Well, I don't know if he actually built the Taj Mahal. I think it was a Shiva temple before, but that's another story. So, this Vaishnavi lady said, don't go back. They're going to kill you if you go back. Just continue your journey to Mayapur. And so, this couple had committed a lot of offenses against Vaishnavas. So they went to Mayapur because, you know, there's the ritual, they went to Mayapur. But they happened to go to this place in Navadvipa called Kulia Gram. Kulia Gram is a very special place. It's where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forgave a lot of offenses of different people who had offended his devotees, who offended Srivas Thakur, and who offended Haridas Thakur. He forgave people. This is known as a place of forgiveness. And they changed their perception by the influence of the holy place. Because even holy places and holy persons can actually affect your consciousness. It's like the story of Ratnagara, who became Valmiki, by chanting Mara, 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 which became Ram, 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 his consciousness changed. Ramagrari, the hunter, he became a great saint. Or Haridas Thakur in the Prasthu. We have so many stories like that. How by association, Sarvasanda, Sarvasanda, Sarva Shastra Koi, Lava Madra, Sarvasanda, Sarva Siddhi Hoy. One attains all perfection. And actually, that's more valuable, the Bhagavatam says. Swarduna Pona Shavya. It's more valuable than repeated bathings in the Ganges River. It's really interesting. The Ganges River is the foot bathing water for the Supreme Personality. Got it. So, what happened is they changed their perception in life. They thought, well, we have no money. So they opened up a grocery store to sort of support themselves and borrow a little money, opened up a grocery store, and then began to serve the Vaishnavas. And so by serving the Vaishnavas, Mahatseva, Uhura Vimuktes, Bhavashavi describes that, to achieve liberation, to achieve Krishna consciousness, then Mahatseva, serving the great souls, and of course the opposite is to Modvarang Yashikasangi Sandham. That if you take bad association, you serve those who are bad. I was just reading, actually this is interesting, maybe it's mundane. I was just reading about the people who had served a particular president of the United States who she remained nameless. And they were just explaining what they did because they basically, to use a modern expression, they swallowed the Kool-Aid. I don't know if you know what that means. That means they associated with him. And one person who's a senator in the United States says, he actually said, once you associate with him, you'll do things that you never thought you would do before, bad things. He's a prominent senator in the United States. Really interesting. Really, really interesting. Anyway, So they started to serve the Vaishnavas, to get back to the story. And particularly they associated with a great devotee named Yadava Das, who'd like to serve other Vaishnavas? And they developed great spiritual curiosity. This is all a story told by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That's why it's so interesting. They wanted to go along with this Yadavadas to a place called Prajuna Kunj, where there was a great devotee named Vaishnavadas. We're going to tell the story about Vaishnavadas in a second. Vaishnavadas Babaji. And they went there and they saw all the great personalities. Chandidas actually went there, and different Babajis and everything like that. And then they got all these instructions. I'm going to repeat a few of them. About Krishna consciousness, about the different aspects of Krishna consciousness, which are part of the story. One of the instructions they got where the soul could either be liberated or be bound. The soul comes down to the material world, which actually answers the question, were we in the spiritual world before Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually has come down, and the three modes of nature, and experiences bondage and unhappiness, and happiness sometimes in the material world, and can get out of this material world by regaining his spiritual identity and associating with devotees and throwing away all illusory perceptions of the soul's identity. That's known as an upadhi, which is sarvapadhi nirmitam tatpatrimanyumalam rishikena rishikesham sevanam bhakti uchite. In other words, designations, things that we think we are. You know, we think we're male or female or young or old or Indian or American or students or sannyasis even. Or else, no. It means to accept Gopi Bharata Pada Kamala Dasa Dasa Dasana Das. And also he said that one should reject inappropriate temporary religions like Karmakanda or Jnanakanda, in other words, like ritualistic types of activities for the achievement of material upliftment or even liberation in this world. So anyway, so all these discussions went on. I don't have time to read about all these discussions that went on between the different devotees, and even describe different types of householders, advanced householders, and or householders were ready to take sannyas. And finally, they went back home and became absorbed by the mercy of the Vaishnavas in Namaguchi, Jivadoya, and Vaishnava Seva, which are actually the secrets for advancing in devotional service. Jivadoya means compassion to the other jivas, serving the other jivas or serving the Vaishnavas, and in this way one gets Namaguchi. Namaguchi means a taste for the holy name. And the Bhagavatam states that Dharma Swanishtika Purusam Vishvaksha Nikatasi Yad No Padiya Yadi Ratim Shama Eva Kevalam, that if one does everything perfectly and doesn't get Namaguchi or a taste for hearing and chanting by Krishna, then basically one is spinning their wheels or wasting their time. Because anything else you attain is temporary. Of course, we use temporary things in Krishna's service. Without a doubt, that's called yukta vairagya. We're all using things. We have to do our duties within this world. But we should always keep in mind that our actual goal is namaruchi. Namaruchi and jivadoya. Being compassionate to others and having a taste for the holy name. So that's the story of Damayanti and Chandidas, who became great devotees, and then they went back to Godhead. Just by having that experience. So what we can learn from that is that, as Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, Yashyahamangarami, Hrishyeta Dhanamshanai, that sometimes he gives his mercy in ways that are a little uncomfortable. People ask often, you know, why do people suffer in this? this world? Why do sometimes the Bodhis suffer? Why did Kunti have to suffer so much? Why did the Pandavas have to suffer so much? And Prabhupada gave the answer to that. He said sometimes the parents, they have to chastise the child. Of course, the Pandavas, they are pure Bodhis, obviously. But the parents sometimes have to chastise the child for the child's good. Or if someone's sick, doesn't the doctor sometimes have to say, you cannot eat this food or do this anymore? Right? So you say, the doctor, he's very unkind, he's punishing me. But the doctor is concerned with your welfare. So in this particular case, these devotees, they were saved by an apparently, you know, by the situation that Krishna raised, apparently unfortunate circumstance with their children. So there's many lessons we can learn from this particular story. My first one is set a good example or else it'll come back to bite you. That's the first lesson. And the second lesson is that we shouldn't be greedy, we should be hospitable and understand that actually all whatever we have is coming from Krishna. And especially we should be charitable to the Vaishnavas and serve the Vaishnavas. That's another lesson. And another lesson is that Krishna will take care of us and we better approach Krishna voluntarily. Or else there'll be some sort of involuntary surrender. It's not actually involuntary because you can't surrender voluntarily. But Krishna will put us in such circumstance that it will be obvious what we have to do. So it's better do it quickly. Okay. So that's the different lessons we learned from that. So let's, I want to go on to the first chapter of this Jiva Dharma. It's an amazing book. You know, I really encourage devotees to read this book. Of course, read Prabhupada's books first. And another thing that Bhaktivinoda Thakur teaches us in the Jiva Dharma is this thing called the Dasamula. Dasamula means the 10 essential points of Krishna consciousness, like Krishna's Supreme Personality, Godhead, Prasada Bhakti Yoga, the Jiva's position. These are the different tattvas that are the foundation of Krishna consciousness. So, this story begins with a Mayavadi. And this Mayavadi, he was in Varanasi, Mayavadi place. What is a Mayavadi? Well, let's describe that. Mayavadi is one who thinks that the Lord's body, pastimes, are illusion. Wow. And that ultimately, at the time of realization, you realize your identity as Brahman, and everything basically becomes one. So, and the Mayavadis, they have different, what we call Mahavakyas. Mahavakya means great sayings. One of them is, Aham Brahmasmi. You've heard that before? I am Brahman. Another one is, Tatvamasi. You are that. And these are true statements. These are actually true. You are Brahman, but you're not Parabrahman. That's the difference. Because as stated that we are of the same nature as Krishna. We are spiritual. Krishna Shakti Parabrahma. Kshetra Gyakya Tataapara. We're the Kshetra Gyas, we're the knowers of the field of activities, we're the marginal energy of the Lord. We're also transcendental. And then, of course, there's this third energy called Avijja Karma, which is this ignorant activities, dull matter like that. So we are the same nature as Krishna. We are Brahman. But we are not Brahman with a capital B. We are Brahman with a small b. We're spiritual. Brahman actually, the word Brahman actually means the greatest. Another one is Pragyanam Brahma. That means Brahman is consciousness. That's another Mahavakya they have. That pure consciousness merged into Brahman. You know, sometimes you see people. Even sometimes people will come to the temple and they'll sit who have this mind-body conception. And we'll sit like this for hours. We'll dance around them. This is actually a story about something like this. Anyway, so we'll dance around the world. The home promotes me. You think, why are you suffering so much? Just get up and dance. We feel so much compassion, isn't it? I am that I am. So anyway, so there's all the tabwamasi, you are that. You are that. You are spiritual. But these are not really important sayings. Important sayings are things like Hare Krishna, Om. Like Krishna says in the Gita, Pranavasara Vedeshu, Shabdakeva Shabdashu, that I am the syllable Om in the Vedic literature. That's a Mahabhakya. And Om is actually Radha Krishna, the living entity, A-U-M. Radha Krishna, the living entity. It's the same as chanting Hare Krishna, a different way of chanting Hare Krishna. So this, he's sitting right near the Ganges, this Mayavadi sannyasi, and he's a Paramahamsa Mayavadi. Now Paramahamsa means a topmost swan-like person who is completely absorbed in spirituality. In this particular case, you know, we have Pramethi, Paramahamsa, Mahavadi, Shabdute, Nanti Tattva-Vita, as Bhagavatam says, that he's absorbed in the Brahman, the undifferentiated spiritual energy, which is the effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what happens is you go, Om Brahmasmi, whatever he's doing. And this devotee comes by in Harinam, as a pure devotee, and starts chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. And this Mayavadi sannyasi, he doesn't say anything, he says, why am I feeling ecstasy? What's happening here? So by that Agyata Sukriti, he becomes enlivened. And Krishna in the heart guides him to go to Mayapur. It's amazing. Just hearing the sound vibration. Vramanda Vramate Konda Bhagavan Jiv Guru Krishna Prasadi Bhai Bhakti Lata Pisa. It's described the living entity is wandering from one universe or one part of the universe or all the universes, and finally, by the mercy of Krishna, he gets Guru, and by the mercy of Guru, he gets this Bhakti Lata Beach. I had a similar experience because I wasn't in my body. I was, you know. Yeah, I was. Anyway. So I was listening to the radio and I heard Prabhupada. And we're just like, okay, time to join the Hare Krishna movement. It's like the Pied Piper, you know the story of the Pied Piper? Yeah. Prabhupada was the Pied Piper. He played the drums, not a pipe. And everyone left their families. You know the story of the Pied Piper? Yeah. Everybody knows the story? Because the Pied Piper, this is, it had nothing to do with Krishna. But it's interrelated. He got rid of all the rats in the village, and the people didn't want to pay him for that. So he said, I'll take away all the children instead. Mm-hmm. So he played his flute, and all the children left their home. So Prabhupada, so the parents didn't want to be Krishna conscious. So let's make a metaphor here. Parents didn't want to be Krishna conscious. So Prabhupada in India wanted some young people to join him, and none of the parents would give their children. And so Prabhupada came to the West, played the mridanga, the children followed, and the parents said, give them back to me. Like there's that story about Brahmananda, his mother went to see Prabhupada, and Prabhupada actually was being very bold, said, I'm taking care of your two sons, would you give a donation for their upkeep, basically. The Prabhupada was so bold, and it was just like, things I would never do that, you know. You got the two kids there, you know, just leave well enough alone. He says to the mother, and the mother gets angry, she says, I give you my two children! And now you're asking me for money? You know, Prabhupada, you know, other instances, is that when Prabhupada was looking at the Fisher Mansion to buy it in Detroit, Prabhupada asked him to donate it. And another time he sent a devotee, there's this airport in Chicago named O'Hare Airport, and Prabhupada sent a devotee to get them to change the name to Old Hare Krishna to the airport manager. You know, Prabhupada's extremely bold, by the way. Anyway, so let's get back to the story. So Brahmanda Brahmate. So the seed of devotion was planted in the heart of the sannyasi. And he just like went to Mayapur, just ended up in Mayapur, and he took shelter at the lotus feet of personally Prem Das Babaji. And they went to study a book by Jagannanda Pandit called the Prema Vivarta. That means the illusion of love, basically. Vivarta, illusion of love. And so the sannyasi already had control of his mind and senses, so it really helped him advance his spiritual life. And he asked some questions of his guru, and he didn't know the answer, even though he was a realized sannyasi. He said, what is the true duty of the individual soul? Why do different teachers give different explanations in the path of the truth of religion? If there's only one truth, why do philosophers not agree in their opinions? Actually, Prabhupada said that to be a Muni means you have to have a separate opinion from all the other philosophers or all the other Munis. So his guru gave the answers. He says, he explained what our original vastu, original nature is. Our original nature is Jivara Sufa Deksha Krishna Das. And he explained about the Supreme Personality of God, the Lord's energies, and the relationship, that Sambandha. And he explained, all Sambandha, this is all Sambandha Gyan. Sambandha, as we described before, means the basic philosophy, theoretical. It's really theoretical stuff. Like, you got the material energy, Krishna creates, is the source of both the material energy and the spiritual energies. There's the time factor, you know, the different subject matters of the Bhagavad Gita. There's karma, jiva, the material energy, the spiritual energy, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like this, and time. So all this is Sambandha. And after a while, he gets instructions in Abhideya, how to perform devotional service. After having all of his doubts cleared, such as, who is Shankaracharya? Actually, we should talk about this, because this is a basic misunderstanding that people have about Hinduism. That they think that, you know, Shankaracharya's philosophy is Hinduism. So Shankaracharya is actually Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva appeared to present a bogus philosophy. But the reason he presented this bogus philosophy is because he presented this bogus philosophy, which is called covered Buddhism, in order to take away people's interest in Buddhism and drive the Buddhists out of India. Because the Buddhists had become very popular right after Buddha appeared, especially with the Emperor Ashoka, which I think most of you know, have heard about the Emperor Ashoka, became very popular in India because the Brahmanas were exploiting people, and they were killing animals too. Prabhupada talked about that. So Buddha wanted to just like do away with the Brahmanas' excuse for exploiting people and create a more homogeneous society where everyone had a right for spiritual life. So later on, of course, the Brahmanas reverted to form and created this caste system in which only it gave certain people a right to spiritual life or a right to Brahmanism or a right to whatever position in society. And then you have these things called the scheduled caste, the outcast, the bhangis, and everything like that after that. But originally, Buddhism was brought into India by Buddha to counteract the Brahmanas' misconceptions, or the misconceptions that the Brahmanas were teaching. So Shankaracharya came to get rid of the Buddhists and bring people back to the Vedic literatures, but they weren't ready to be brought back to the Vedic literatures completely, So he brought them back with a sort of a covered Buddhism, or like something very similar to Buddhism, which is impersonalism, misinterpreting the Vedic literatures. But at least he was successful in that regard. And he also taught about worship of Vishnu, but he also taught that worship of Vishnu and all these other types of worship are temporary to achieve your ultimate goal. And that's not what the Vedas actually say. If you look at the Bhagavad Gita, or read the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Brahmanel, Pratishtaham, I am the source of the impersonal Brahma. So anyway, so he dealt with this sannyasi's doubts and Mayavadi conceptions. And then he taught him about Vaishnavas, the different types of Vaishnavas. And eventually by this guru's instructions, the sannyasi realized by the chanting of the Lord's holy names, he realized the pastimes of Lord Krishna. And he was able to have a vision of the holy land of Mayapur as it was when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there, by the mercy of his guru. Now that's a really important thing that I experienced, not a vision of Mayapur, but anyway, I experienced the first time I met Prabhupada. I actually, it was like a window opened up to the spiritual world. You know, I actually could see, like, so I had the spiritual master of the transparent via media between the jiva soul and the spiritual realm. So everything just opened up. I just being in the physical presence of Prabhupada, and I actually forgot that I was in this material world, had a material body. Of course, a few days later, I remembered. But so by that Vaishnava's association, so this is a very important point, association with the Vaishnava, then he decided to stay, the sannyasi decided to stay with the devotees, and at this point he dressed as a Vaishnava with tilak and salty beads, and he realized that it was only through his guru's mercy that he was able to make advancement spiritually, and the guru gave him the name Vaishnava Das. And the guru said that there are three medicines that can cure the disease of repeated death: the dust of the Vaishnava's feet, the water that's washed to the Vaishnava's feet, and the food that is touched to the Vaishnava's lips. And this is, as we've heard this before, three very, very powerful substances. And then ultimately his guru told him that humility is the key. Humility is planted as a seed by the Vaishnavas into the heart of another soul. Without taking shelter of the Vaishnavas, there is no hope, and association with Vaishnavas is the key to actually attaining Krishna consciousness. So these are some of the stories in a nutshell. There's a lot more, but I didn't have time to tell a lot more. Some of the stories. Does anybody have any questions or comments about any things I said or any aspect of Krishna consciousness?
Maharaj?
Yeah.
I was, while you were reciting about how Shankaracharya was driving away the Buddhism.
Yeah.
And because when, at least before I was coming to Krishna consciousness and all, I used to follow like his life story and all. Every time he used to step out from one place to other, there was always a debate and all throughout his
life.
And at that time, like the way for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when we hear about the stories and all, he was like, you know, debating with Prakashananda and the Saraswati and all. Like at that time of Shankaracharya also, there should have been some Vaishnava Acharyas, right? So wasn't there been any debates and all?
Yes, oh yes, of course. Now even before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but then you have many Vaishnava Acharyas. Of course you have the Sri Vaishnavas, Ramanujacharya, who is famous for his debates. You have Madhvacharya, who is famous. You know, Madhvacharya is holding his hand up like this, Dvaita, as just opposing, even his mudra is actually opposing the Mayavadi conception. So that's Madhvacharya, the famous Madhvacharya in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, which we're members of course. Ramanujacharya, Nimbarkacharya, all these Vaishnavacharyas opposed Shankaracharya's interpretation. And but still the misconception is given to those who study Hinduism that Hinduism is actually based upon Shankaracharya's teachings, and a lot of that has to do with the popularity in India of Ramakrishna and Vivekananda. You've heard about them before?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, because you know the story about Vivekananda came to the United States, mm-hmm. and preached in Chicago and everything like that, and presented Hinduism. And generally, if you go to the university, that's what you're going to hear that Hinduism is, something along the lines of Shankaracharya's philosophy. But basically, as far as what Hinduism is, I mean, let's not even talk about Hinduism, because Hinduism, the word Hinduism is a geographical designation that was imposed by outsiders upon those who practiced religion in India. We're more interested in Sanatana Dharma. Sanatana Dharma means eternal principles, eternal tattva, eternal practices that are... Dharma actually means... Let's go back a little bit. The word Dharma means the essential aspect of something. It doesn't simply mean duty. You know, sometimes people say, well, my Dharma is to be a computer programmer. You know, that's asat Dharma. But your asat Dharma, I don't think eternally, when you get to the spiritual world, you're going to be programming computers or, you know, whatever else you're doing, working for Microsoft. In the spiritual world, the great saint Bill Gates will employ you. but Sat Dharma means eternal religious principles. So Dharma actually means something that sustains the essential quality of something. Probably would often give the example of water. You say the natural quality of water is liquidity. Now, I know we can make water like ice, it can be solid, but it's not the natural quality normally in most temp places unless you go to Alaska. So that's what Dharma is. And so, Sanatana Dharma basically means the same thing, eternal Dharma. So more or less you can say that we're followers of Sanatana Dharma. Although nowadays that's another organization, the Sanatana Dharma organization. So we're not really associated with them, but technically that's what we're doing, Sanatana Dharma, eternal religious principles, things that are connected with the soul and help us realize our eternal spiritual identity. That's a description, you know, and Vaishnavas. You know, that's another way we can describe us. We're Vaishnavas, worship of Vishnu, Krishna, and any one of his innumerable expansions, like the devotees of Lord Brahma are also Vaishnavas. Devotees of Krishna, it's a generic term for worship of Krishna or any of his expansions. That's a Vaishnava. And also you have the Shaivites, like if you go to Kanchipuram, for example, in South India, you have Vishnu Kanchi and Shiva Kanchi, and they're always arguing with each other. And then you have some real conflicts. Like there was one king, I forget his name, he wanted to convince Ramanujacharya to worship Vishnu. Kuresh. No, his name wasn't Kuresh. Then what was the king's name? I forget. He wanted to convince Ramanujacharya to worship Vishnu. So he called for Ramanujacharya. So Ramanujacharya knew what the king was up to. So he sent his assistant, Koresh, there instead. So Koresh went to see the king. And the king said, will you worship Shiva instead of Vishnu? And what Koresh actually said really agitated the king, you know, really did what he considered to be an offense. And the king put out his eyes, thinking he was putting out the eyes of Ramanujacharya. And so later on, of course, Ramanujacharya asked Koresh to go before the deity of Radhadaraja in Kanchi and ask for his eyes back. First, Koresh just asked for the king to be forgiven. But then after Ramanujacharya insisted, Koresh asked that his eyes would be given back because his eyes belonged to his guru. And then he got his eyes back. A famous story about Sri Padmanabha Bhattacharya. But you will find conflicts in India between the Shaivites and the Vaishnavites. And we respect the Shaivites because Lord Vishnu was actually the greatest Vaishnava, Vaishnava Yatam Shabhu. And which he also says, Aradhanam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param Tasmat Padataram Devi Turiyanam Samarjanam. All types of worship. Worship of Vishnu is supreme, and better than that is worship of Vishnu's devotees. So we very much appreciate Lord Shiva. So we're not sectarian like that. Although we do know Lord Shiva's ontological position. He's an expansion of Krishna, but he's not Vishnu Tattva. The Brahma Samhita describes it's like the yogurt that has been made from the milk. And the yogurt is very nice, the milk is very nice, but you can't make milk from yogurt, you can only make yogurt from milk. And Lord Shiva especially expands from Krishna in order to deal with the material world, because Krishna, but Kaloka Evin Vashtiyaki Lapan Bhutta, Krishna never touches the material energy. He doesn't touch. In fact, his only contact with the material energy is basically his saikshita, his glance. And that glance is actually personified as Lord Shiva, Shambhu. And Lord Shiva contacts Maya, Durga. And through that conjugation, you have the living entities such as ourselves placed within this material realm. So Lord Shiva is our father. I mean, certainly we respect him. Isn't it? He's our father, Durga is our mother. And Krishna, of course, aham bija pratapita. Krishna's the original father. But we have other fathers too. So, any other questions or comments?
Maharaj, I have one more question.
Yeah.
Okay. Talking about Sripada Ramanuja Acharya Maharaj, it is believed that he is the incarnation of Balarama himself.
Yeah, Lakshman, actually.
Yeah. So the question I was having was, why was that Sripada Ramanuja Acharya was heavily promoting on Narayana instead of Krishna?
Ah, that's very interesting. Because each and every one of the expansions or incarnations of God, they have a specific mission. And there's a gradual in the history of the revelation of the Absolute Truth. There's a gradual evolution of that. And that evolution culminates in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. Of course, Krishna was revealed by the other great acharyas too. And Ramanujacharya he recognized Krishna as an avatar. But Ramanujacharya and many of the other acharyas thought that Vishnu was, you know, Swayam Bhagavan. At least he presented, didn't think. Okay, there's a difference. He presented that that Vishnu was Swayam Bhagavan, and that all the other avatars came from Vishnu. However, in the Bhagavatam it states, iti chamsa kalapu sam krishnas tu bhagavan swayam, that all the other avatars come from Krishna. Now, you may say, you know, why did you present this something that's not true? Well, it's not false either. Because advaita chuta nadira nantarupam adyam purana purusham navayovanam cha. What does that mean? That means there's one God, and he appears in various situations doing different things. So in one sense, it's not when we talk about Vishnu expanding from Krishna, or, you know, Balaram expanding from Krishna, he's not lesser than Krishna. You know, the word expansion is used, but that doesn't mean that they are any lesser, because the word Advaita is used. They're the same, but the only thing that is lesser in any sense is the manifestation, or how much he manifests. Does that make sense? Like Balaram and Krishna, they're same. Ram and Krishna, the same. But they're manifesting less of intimacy. Like if you weigh things on the scale of intimacy, which is, you can do objectively. So on the scale of intimacy, you see that the Krishna, you see that Krishna and the relationship that Krishna has with his devotees is the most intimate, the closest relationship. Like no one goes up to Vishnu and slaps Vishnu on the back. No one chases Vishnu with a stick to beat him. I've never read that story. I mean, once in a while, Lakshmi leaves it because she's upset. That's a different story. But she doesn't beat him. So, but you have story, you know, Krishna is really intimate stories about the deal with Krishna's exchanges with the gopis, exchanges with the coward boys. Like the cowards and coward boys are riding on Krishna's back, fighting with Krishna. You know, when you see fighting with Vishnu, it's actually demons are doing that business, not in the spiritual world. So you find a great. So examining the qualities exhibited, also, you know, we find the four qualities that only Krishna exhibits. You know, like unexcelled beauty, intimate pastimes, plays a flute. Vishnu doesn't play a flute. What instrument does he play? Anyway, yeah, he plays on demons. So Shiva plays a demon. So intimate devotees and all these things like that. So you find these four qualities that only Krishna exhibits. So just objectively seen. So Prabhupada obviously we understand Krishna's two Bhagavan Swam, he's the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Prabhupada would sometimes say, you know, whether you take Vishnu as coming from Krishna or Krishna coming from Vishnu, ultimately they're the same person. Confirmed. See, whenever it's like they in India they have this tiki tiki or the lizard goes tiki tiki.
Oh, yeah.
So in America we have electronic sounds that do the same thing. So if you say something and there's something like that, it actually is. So I just have people ring for their mobile phone to go off when I say something. So to confirm what I say. So ultimately we don't argue about things like that. And it's so wonderful when someone is devoted to their particular form of the Lord. We don't start arguing them out of it. Like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very much appreciated different devotees who were dedicated to Lord Ram, like Murari Gupta or Anupama. And you know, he tested them to see their dedication. He said, chant Hare Krishna instead of chanting Ram, 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 or Sita Ram. But ultimately, he was very much appreciative of that because there's only one God. Dvaita Chuda Nadi Radhanta Rupa Adyam Parana Purusham Yogancha Vedeshu Durva Durva Atmabhav Durva Nadi Purusham Dharmakasham. So we try to remember that so we don't really get into that controversy. Because I'm not going to argue with someone, you know. As long as they like God, you know, it's the same God. Your God, my God. Isn't it? It's God. Like, Prabhupada was very happy even when the Krishnas worshiped God. Although, the only thing he was unhappy with is if they didn't follow the Ten Commandments, like, thou shalt not kill. And other commandments like that. So, any other questions? No? No other questions? Comments?
Much.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, opulence to Dasya to up to the Mahaprabhu, which is Gaudiya Bhava.
Yeah.
So it was so wonderful that he has acknowledged all the religions,
mm-hmm.
how sacred they are, but he also delineates and shows how the relationship between the soul and the super soul just gets so personal and concentrated as it gets upgraded from general God awareness
right.
to different religions to Mahaprabhu giving that
Madhurya Bhava. Yes. Yes, in the Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Bhaktivinoda Thakura says that when we see someone worshipping God in their own religion, we should appreciate that they are worshipping God in a different way than they are worshipping Krishna. But we should actually think this is wonderful. I mean, sometimes I go to other ceremonies of different religions, and I appreciate it. I mean, one time I went to this Hillsong church, maybe you've heard of that, and I was appreciating. I was up there, you know, Jai, all glory is to Lord Jesus, you know. Because Prabhupada said Lord Jesus is our guru, too. Because he's teaching pure love of God. And he's teaching, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur did, the Atmani Vedanam, complete surrender and dedication to helping other people. You know, and being an ocean of mercy. And that, like I described in the beginning of this discussion, you see Bhaktivinoda Thakur dedicated his whole life just to helping others, which is a wonderful example. So, oh, people are asking questions online. So, we won't take any online questions. So, any other questions or comments? All right. So, what happens to Prasad? All right. Thank you. It's nice to visit here. It's a long trip. It's all right. We had a good
Thanks
time.
Thank you so much, Mara.
Thank you for inviting us.
Okay.
So, a little prasadam for everybody. All glorious to Sri Krishna Prabhupada, Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Bhaktivinoda Thakur Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna, so let's thank Maharaj for coming here all the way and enlightening us, and also for the beautiful bhajan by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Hare Krishna.